Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew 16. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today. Matthew 16, beginning of verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Simon, a disciple of Jesus, a man who heard the call, "Come follow me." A man who answered the call, forsaking all to follow Jesus. A man that wanted to become what Jesus wanted him to become. He wanted the Jesus life. Forsaking all to follow. You know, there was something about Jesus' call that caused men, and in this case, fishermen, to immediately drop their nets, to leave it all behind. We don't even read of them asking questions. "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Well, a lot had happened since the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, since the call and the decision to follow Jesus. So many teachings, so many lessons, so many miracles and signs and wonders. Disciples following Jesus, learning and witnessing and even ministering. Chapter 4 to chapter 16. And here we are. You know, Simon had come a long way. And here's Jesus speaking into his life, speaking over his life. He addresses him. Is Simon. And then he tells him that he is Peter. Simon, hearer. It also means reed, a wavering reed. Peter, Petros, rock, a large piece of rock. And right here is what Jesus, what the Lord seeks to work in the life of every believer, every Jesus follower. We hear his call. We've answered. We've answered his call. We've decided to follow, following. And we have followed, and we are following. And we seek to follow always. And a work is taking place. And work has taken place. The Simon nature of man, though a hearer, a reed, a wavering reed. You know, it's in us. Every one of us. And the Lord Jesus wants to change our name. And He wants to change our nature. He wants to take us from reeds to rocks. Simon to Peter, reed to rock. Rocks on which he can build his church. A church that the gates of Hades shall not prevail against. He wants to give us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Simon to Peter, Greek Petros, a large piece of rock, and on this rock, Greek Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it, or be strong to its detriment, or hold out against it. I mean, what a moment with Jesus. What a moment for Simon. Was the work complete? The work done. The reed, now a rock. Listen to the very next verses, verse 21 to 23. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. A stumbling block. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." I mean, imagine taking Jesus aside and rebuking him. Perhaps, you know, he thought he meant well. But Jesus spoke to his thoughts. In this moment, he was an offense to Jesus, a disciple not mindful of the things of God. A disciple mindful of the things of men. Well, we press on in the book and we come to chapter 26. The plot to kill Jesus, the anointing at Bethany, Judas agrees to betray Jesus. Jesus celebrates Passover with his disciples. Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. And now Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Matthew 26, we pick it up at verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." Petros, Peter, Simon. And a time had come, and a time was at hand where the reed would waver. How could one revert? How could this nature rise? Reading from the Gospel of Luke, Luke 22, verses 31 to 34, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. You know, we can't imagine betraying Jesus. We might even declare like Peter that we would never deny him. That we would go with him both to prison and death. But do you see what's going on here? The very words of Jesus, the New King James Version, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. The Wycliffe Bible, Satan hath asked for you that he should riddle you as wheat. Simon, Simon. You know, the truth is, Satan asks for disciples to sift them as wheat, pursuing us that he might make us part of his harvest, to riddle us as wheat. He knows the potential of a Simon decided to follow Jesus. He knows what the Lord can make out of a Simon. He knows the impact and effect. He knows the strength that will be. If Jesus can get disciples from Simon, hearer, the wavering reed, to Peter, Petros, rock, even to Petra. Take heart, Simon. Take heart, Peter. Jesus has prayed for you. And Jesus is praying for you that your faith not fail. Listen to the words Jesus spoke to Peter. And when you have returned to me, there's a choice. But Jesus says to him, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. I share with you the words of David Wilkerson. When Jesus walked the earth, he knew all too well the fierceness of Satan's power, that he comes with every weapon in hell to sift the Lord's people. I don't think any of us can comprehend the great conflict raging right now in the spiritual realm. Nor do we realize how determined Satan is to destroy all believers who have fixed their hungering hearts firmly on going all the way with Christ. But it is true that in our Christian walk, we cross a line. The obedience line. That sets off every alarm in hell. And the moment we cross that line into a life of obedience to God's word and dependence on Jesus alone, we become a threat to the kingdom of darkness and a prime target of demonic principalities and powers. The testimony of every believer who turns to the Lord with all his heart includes the sudden onslaught of strange and intense troubles and trials. If you've crossed the obedience line, then you are making waves in the unseen world. In Luke 22, 28 to 34, Jesus introduces this subject of the sifting of saints. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, verse 31. In Christ's day, grain workers used a sieve just before they sacked grain. They shoveled wheat into a square box covered with netting, then turned the box upside down and shook it violently. The grit and the dirt fell through the netting until only the grain kernels remained. In this verse, sift means to be shaken and separated, to be shocked through the agitation of sudden trials. Jesus used this analogy to say to Peter, Satan believes you're nothing but grit and dirt, and that when he puts you through the sieve and shakes you, you will fall through to the ground. There are tests and trials, and then there is sifting. I see sifting as one major all-out satanic onslaught. It is usually compressed into a short but very intense period of time. For Peter, the sifting would only last a few days, but those days would become the most faith-shaking, shocking, and remorseful days of his life. That sifting time shook out the pride that had brought Peter down. The shaking rid his soul of hindrances that could have destroyed his witness once and for all. Thank God. Thank God Peter's faith did not fail. As surely as Jesus prayed that his faith fail not, so he prays for us in the same manner. Matthew 26, verses 69 to 75. Now Peter sat outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, You also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, This fellow also is with Jesus of Nazareth. But again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Yeah, his speech did betray him. Then he began to curse and swear, called down curses, swear oaths, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who had said to him, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Peter denies Jesus, and within earshot, and within sight, amidst unholy company, in the seat of the scorner and using scorner's language. These words, and there is the Christ, his back turned towards Peter, but he is within hearing. Oh, methinks that fact alone ought to have checked Peter's tongue and inspired him with such love and pity and sympathy that he would have found it impossible to deny his master. And for you and me to sin in the very presence of the majesty of heaven, and all sin does that, is an enormous crime. Luke 22, verses 61 and 62, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Can you imagine Jesus' eyes in that moment? Peter had fallen. Though he had been faithfully warned concerning it. And as one stated, the guilt of Peter's sin is enhanced by the fact that it came so soon after his protestation of fidelity to his master. You know, to think that he denied Jesus, he denied him with cursing. An oath. And Peter calls him a man. When he had just boldly declared that he was the Son of God. Can you believe this all took place so very close to where his Lord and Master was suffering? You know, fear sent the reed wavering. Perhaps even confidence in self. He should have been weaker. He should have been humbler. The words of Charles Spurgeon, this Peter who seemed to lead the van was yet so frail and fallible, so far from being the first infallible bishop of Rome, that he even denied his Lord and Master. This is about the only point, so far as I can see, in which the Pope of Rome is like Peter, for he too has great presumption, and he can, with his bulls and his curses, go about as far as Peter did in denying his Lord. Peter's fall seems to say to every one of us, you too are weak. You too will fall if you are left to yourself. Therefore, trust him wholly to your master, but never trust in yourself. Look away to and rely not upon your own experience or the firmness of your own resolutions, for you will assuredly fall as Peter did, unless the almighty hand of Christ shall hold you up. Well, the scene plays out. They crucify the Christ, beaten bloody for the sins of people, nailed to a sinner's cross. Jesus dies on the cross. He's taken down from the cross. Placed in a tomb, and on the third day, Jesus Christ rose from the grave. We pick it up in the Gospel of Mark, Mark 16, beginning of verse 1. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." Go tell his disciples and Peter, the man mentioned by name, the one the Lord had prayed for that his faith not fail. And we know that the Lord had prayed for the other disciples as well. I mean, imagine what those days were like for Peter. This short but very intense period of time. The sifting, though it would only last a few days. The most faith-shaking, shocking, and remorseful days of his life. The pride shaken out of him. His soul being rid of hindrances that could have destroyed his witness once and for all. He went out. He wept bitterly. Had this time. And the prayers of Jesus rendered this man like a rock by reason of his firmness and strength of soul. These words, Peter carried with him the hurt of denying the very Son of God. Those bitter tears worked in him a sweet miracle. He came back to shake the kingdom of Satan. Take heart, Simon. Take heart, Peter. Jesus has prayed for you. Return to him. He's prayed for you that your faith not fail. Return to him and strengthen. Strengthen the brethren. So beautiful. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Luke 24, beginning of verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found a stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told all these things to the apostles, and their words seemed to them like idle tales. And they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. And stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." The news of the rising of the Christ lifts a man and sends him running. The one who wept, now wondering, marveling at what had happened. You know, the reed nature was being removed. The wavering nature. All things working together for good. The Lord seeking to render a man a rock. One that would not be blown about. And one that would not be blown about by every wind. trial happening, storm, persecution, opposition, moved by other reeds. One that would not be blown about by every wind. Yeah, even winds of doctrine. John 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Miraculous. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. There was still work to do on the man. Yes. Confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Verses 15 to 19, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Jesus restores Peter. You know what a line. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. J.B. Phillips, New Testament, Jesus said to him, I tell you truly, Peter, that when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you liked. Imagine how small Peter felt. Remember Peter's words? Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. A rock? Peter? Petros? Petra? I'm Simon, a reed, a wavering reed, a betrayer, a failure. But I remember he said, I'm Peter, and he's reaffirming my name. Matching the three denials, Jesus has Peter reaffirm his love for him three times. Love him more than these. And each time Jesus reaffirms Peter's call, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Holy strikes against the reed nature. Holy strikes to silence its rising. The man was humbled. And the man was humble. A humble rock. And it's how it should be. As hard as a rock. With veins of humility. The text, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. Yes, signifying by what death Peter would glorify God. And yet signifying by what life Peter would glorify God, glorify the risen Christ, the stretching out of his hands, another girding him, another carrying him even where the reed wouldn't want to go. A man marked by divine manacles, a man girded with a divine restraint, a man carried by a divine power. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Hear it again. Do we need to hear it again? Are we here today in need of restoring, restoration? Are we struggling with the new name he has given us? Let Jesus reaffirm your name. Let Jesus reaffirm your call. Let Jesus restore you today and then hear him say, follow me. Don't look back. Don't dwell on what has been, for there is a future. Peter could have just said, listen, I am not Peter. That's impossible. I tried. I remember when he called me Peter. The rock on which he built his church. Look at how I wavered. Blown about. I betrayed him. I called him a man. I'm a failure. Take heart. Jesus has prayed for you. And when you return, strengthen your brethren. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? I mean, that was their great concern. And he said to them, you know, it's not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Let's have the worship team return today. You know, they returned to Jerusalem, and when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And Peter begins moving as the Lord called him to feed, tend, feed. The exhortation and the choosing of a disciple to replace Judas. Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, the day had come, and they were all with one accord in one place. The Holy Spirit rushed in and took control of the place. Everyone baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, power from on high. The sound was heard in Jerusalem. And a multitude came, some confused at what they heard, others mocking. They are full of new wine. Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them. Peter went on preaching, laying out the truth. The rock man enabled for this holy hour. And how many reeds, how many waverers were among the multitude? Peter preached, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And the Bible says that after that day, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Lord, let it be. A reed. The Pentecost preacher. Used of God. Peter had learned how to cast the net on the right side. Take heart. Jesus is praying for you. Reeds to rocks. You know, the Lord knows the reed nature of man. He calls us. He calls to us, follow me. He wants to take us. He wants to change us from reeds to rocks. Rocks on which he can build his church, for he is still building his church. A church which the gates of Hades shall not prevail against. Listen, he wants to give us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Peter left it all behind to follow Jesus. Peter meant well, and we can mean well. But we need the Lord to take the reed nature. Peter followed Jesus. He loved Jesus, served Jesus, worked for Jesus. He walked on water. He ran to the tomb. He plunged into the sea. He went and dragged the net to land. Have we gone back fishing? However that speaks today. You know, maybe it's breakfast time. It's time we have breakfast. Jesus said to them, come. Come and eat breakfast. Come close to the fire of coals. Let Jesus put bread and fish in your hands. Eat, and let Jesus speak to you. There's a Simon in the house. Take heart. Take heart. You're not too far gone. Jesus has prayed for you. And when you return to him, he'll use you. Strengthen your brethren. Feed, tend, feed. Do you know Jesus? Perhaps there's someone here today, you do not know Jesus. You've been told about the call to come follow Jesus, but you haven't heard the call for yourself. Well, Jesus says to you today, come follow me. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you answered his call? Is he your Lord and Master? I close with these words. What a mercy it was that Christ did not treat Peter as Peter treated him. Peter said, I know not the man. Ah, me. But if the blessed, meek, and lowly one had said, I know not the man, it would have been all over with Peter. May God grant that Christ may not say of any one of us at the last great day, I know not the man. He will say it of all who know him not and whom he does not know. They are not acquainted with one another. And if they continue as they are, he will say, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Though he has eaten and drunk in your presence and taught in your streets, yet he will say, I know you not. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. The mercy is that he never said that to Peter. And he will never say that to you or to me. If we come and cast ourselves in penitence at his feet, bemoaning our sin and putting our trust in him alone, may God grant this blessing to each one of you, dear friends, for Jesus' sake. Amen.